Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Friend Zone Hell by Marika Ray. Narrated by Kyle Mason and Angelina Rocca. Chapter 1. Callan. Ace and Addie's wedding wasn't the place to cause a scene. I swore I wasn't going to react to every stupid-ass thing that came out of that guy's mouth today. Turned out I was wrong. As my fist went flying toward Alistair's pretty boy face, I had a momentary flicker of regret. Then my knuckles smashed into his nose, instantly squashing the flicker. Blood flowed, and even then, it only slightly mollified the beast in me that rose up to defend Cricket. In my defense, Alistair deserved it. There I was at the wedding, standing to the right of Ace, as he took his vows to love and cherish Addie forever. I could barely take my eyes off Cricket, standing to Addie's left, in order to focus on my big brother's big day. The front of her hair was pulled back in a tiny braid that somehow twirled around her head and left the rest of her pale blonde hair to cascade down her back in a riot of curls. The bridesmaids' dresses were of Addie's choosing, making Cricket look like the angel I'd always thought she was. Cricket had walked into kindergarten with a backpack that nearly eclipsed her. I'd taken one look at her blonde hair and slight frame and decided she was mine to protect. That moment was etched into my long-term memory. I ran over and hung her backpack on the hook on the back wall of the classroom. Introductions were made and we became fast friends. Over the years, I followed the rules and she blazed right past them. I picked up after her, never complaining because I liked to watch the petite hurricane that was Cricket. I was tall and strong, she was short and slight. We made absolutely no sense, and yet I believed some spirit beyond the veil had planned for us to be joined at the hip. We just worked, BFFs and all that. It was the tinkling of a giggle that finally pulled my attention away from Cricket as Ace slipped a ring on Addie's finger. A whole throng of family and friends were seated in the white wooden chairs on the lawn outside of the Peacock B&B in Auburn Hill, the town we'd all grown up in. There in the sixth row was Alistair, the latest asshat Cricket had been dating. His suit was so ridiculously tight, I wondered if he bought it from the boys' section of the department store. There was fashionably fitted, and then there was Alistair's fashion sense. His nose was practically buried in the hair of a redhead Daxon had dated last year as he whispered in her ear. I didn't know her name. Sadly, Daxon didn't date women for long, so there was no sense in memorizing her name. She let out another giggle, and I thought I might crack a molar with how tightly I was clenching my jaw. I glanced back at Cricket, whose face had just gone white. Fuck. It wasn't enough that the shit stain had gotten drunk at the rehearsal dinner last night. He had to flirt with a woman right in front of Cricket's face. I clenched my hands into fists and willed myself to get through the ceremony without looking at Alistair. Cricket did the opposite, her gaze never leaving the scene that was unfolding in the audience. The crowd let out a cheer, and Ace swept Addie into an R-rated kiss that made me proud to be his brother. If you love a woman, who the hell cares what level of PDA you engage in, right? Eventually, they made their way back down the aisle, and I stepped forward to meet up with Cricket for our own walk through the audience. Her eyes held a sheen that made me want to barrel through the crowd and provide the beatdown Alistair had coming. He's not worth it, I managed to let slip past my clenched jaw. Cricket gripped my elbow like a lifeline.
Not now, Cal.
I kept my pace slow, knowing her short legs and high heels needed extra time to make the trip to the back of the wedding venue. I waited with her there, purposely changing the subject and keeping her occupied so she wouldn't try to stare at the back of the head of the worthless guy she was dating. You did incredible work with everyone's hair, Angel. Cricket managed a smile.
Thanks.
Hell of a lot better than doing wash and sets for the geriatric crowd. She twirled a lock of hair around her finger, her nervous tell. Not that I'm not incredibly grateful to that crowd for keeping my salon in business. It's just that a girl likes to do a braid every now and again. I smiled down at her. I know. I'm just grateful my hair's short enough you can't braid it, or else you'd have me in a French braid right now. Cricket pursed her lips, and my attention dropped down to take in what would never be mine. Nope. Waterfall braid, actually. I frowned. What the hell is a waterfall braid? She grinned, and some of my anger slipped away. Grow your hair out, and I'll show you. No chance, Angel. You already have my brothers giving me shit about the shampoo lightening my hair. Cricket reached way up and trailed a finger through my hair, her touch light as a butterfly. They're just jealous that it looks amazing. Okay, everyone, let's gather over here for the wedding party pictures. The wedding coordinator was a no-nonsense woman who scared her clients into complying with her commands. The dark eyebrows that would wing up at the ends when she frowned at you were the thing of nightmares. Addie swore by her, though, saying her pictures were worthy of being on the wall at the Louvre. I swallowed down whatever I could have managed to say when Cricket was touching me and being sweet. Probably better for everyone that I didn't open my mouth. Cricket was my best friend, but I was keeping a huge secret from her. I was head over heels, insanely in love with her, and had been since senior year of high school. It was an affliction I'd tried to talk myself out of as being ridiculous. When that failed, I'd purposefully tried to put distance between us, a decision that backfired when she called me out on my icy countenance, and I'd felt like an asshole for making her sad. That left me with denial as my go-to tactic for ignoring the feelings she stirred up in me. I was the master of denial at this point. 6 long years of dating other women and trying and failing to compare them to Cricket. 6 years of protecting Cricket at all costs, including protecting her from my ridiculous feelings. Okay, boys, you can go. Let me get the girls. The photographer waved the 4 of us away, pinning Ace with a look that made my balls tremble. The poor guy was stuck with at least another hour of pictures. My brothers and I all pulled at our collars as we made our way back to the reception. All the guests were eating and drinking, which seemed highly unfair. Dude, Alistair has his hand on that chick's ass, Ethan pointed behind us as we waited in line for a cocktail. My head whipped in that direction, zeroing in on the scene. The redhead was laughing at something Alistair had said. He was looking at her like he was seconds away from pulling her into an empty room in the B&B and dropping his trousers. Oh, hell no, I muttered, bumping shoulders with my brothers as I pushed through them. Rage was too calm a word for what spun through my system like a tornado. Oh, shit, I heard Blaze grumble behind me. I made a beeline for Alistair, politely moving the redhead a step away from him, before I let my fist fly. The fucker had reflexes as dull as his life story, just standing there as my fist connected with his face. I didn't even feel the blow, but I did watch the blood flow from his nose in satisfaction. What the fuck? He bellowed, hands holding his nose as blood dripped between his fingers. I shook out my hand and considered following it up with an undercut that would have him thinking of me every time he took a deep breath the next few days. Blaze's arm came around my shoulders and Daxon darted in between us, cutting off that thought. Ethan put his hand on Alistair's shoulder and spun him around, whispering in his ear as he steered him away from the crowd. Only then did I become aware of the silence around me. The wedding guests had all gone quiet, watching me lose my cool. I squeezed my eyes shut and tried to calm down. "Show's over, friends," Daxon said loudly with a jovial smile. "Did I mention cocktails are free?" He waved his arm toward the empty bar and successfully drew most people's attention there. Only a few heads were still turned in my direction, notably my mother's. She gave me a glare that made the photographer look like a fuzzy teddy bear. I gave her a shoulder shrug and she rolled her eyes before turning away. I knew that wasn't the end of it. We'd be having words later and it wouldn't be fun. Also turned in my direction was Lucy Sutter. Her eyes narrowed as she watched me. I gave her a smile that was known to calm people even when they'd been in a car accident, but even that didn't get her calculating eyes off me. Well, you fucked up now. You got Lucy eyeballing you. Blaze clapped me on the shoulder. She smells a love story and she won't quit until she figures it out. Good luck on that. Before I could comment on that frightful thought, Cricket's angry voice had me spinning around.
What the holy hell did you do, Callan Hellman?
Her hands were jammed on her hips, and I could have sworn there was steam coming out of her ears.
Alistair just peeled out of here with blood on his shirt.
Blaze backed off with comically wide eyes, leaving me alone with not quite 100 pounds of fury.
Now, Angel, don't you angel me when I'm mad at you.
Cricket took another step closer, her eyes blazing at me. I sucked in another breath and tried to be patient. I'd been telling her for weeks that Alistair was no good for her, and she kept ignoring all the red flags. She didn't even seem all that into him, so I couldn't understand why she'd put up with his bullshit. He had his hand on the redhead's ass, Cricket. Maybe he's just really friendly, but I couldn't sit around and watch him cheat on you. Not when I could do something about it. Her eyes lost some of the anger, and maybe I was imagining it, but embarrassment seemed to replace it.
That was for me to deal with, not you.
I leaned down, softening the blow as much as I could.
But you never do, Cricket.
She sucked in a gasp, frozen as she soaked in the truth of my words. By the time she unfroze, the heat was gone from her words.
Fuck off, Cal.
She spun on her heel and marched off, getting lost in the sea of people milling about the lawn. My heart sank. I shouldn't have said anything. Should have just stuffed down my feelings on the subject like I always did. My brothers found me a little while later staring off into space. I'd have to thank them for backing me up with Alistair when I needed them. Daxon opened his mouth and I beat him to it.
Don't.
He snapped his mouth shut and smirked. I wasn't going to state the obvious. Blaze, the brother who'd just recently put a ring on Annie's finger, thought himself to be an expert on love now.
You need to tell her how you feel, man. It's past time.
But what if she doesn't feel the same way? Ethan asked, stroking his beard in thoughtful contemplation. Would that ruin the lifelong friendship?
Isn't it already strained by unrequited love?
Blaze snapped.
Guys!
I stood in the middle of their huddle.
I don't need you debating my love life right in front of me. There's nothing there, okay?
See? Denial. I would deny those feelings that kept me up at night until I was blue in the face. There was simply a chemical that had gone haywire somewhere in my biology. Until I could get it straightened out, I wasn't going to damage my friendship with Cricket. Blaze shook his head, obviously disappointed.
The bloodshed is only going to continue. You can't keep it bottled up. Take it from me.
It might be your blood next, bro. Check out Cricket's face. Daxon pointed subtly. And we all turned to see Cricket giving me a glare from across the wooden dance floor that had been erected once the chairs had been removed from the lawn. I sighed. Let me go talk to her.
Hope you're wearing a cup,
Daxon whisper yelled to my back. I shot him the middle finger and kept going, darting around people I'd known my whole life. I got quite a few fist bumps and only a couple frowns, telling me most people hadn't liked old Alistair either. When I got to Cricket, she pretended not to see me, talking instead with her friends Meadow and Annie.
Cricket, can we chat?
I interrupted, drawing a glare from Meadow and an encouraging smile from Annie. She had a soft spot for us Hellmans, thank God.
We were just going to get another round of drinks,
Annie said, grabbing Meadow and dragging her away despite her protests about wanting to watch the fight. Cricket wouldn't look at me. Focusing instead on my right shoulder. That lower lip stuck out just enough for me to know she was more hurt than mad.
Cricket had a lot of expressions, and I knew them all.
"Angel, please," I whispered, cupping her face and stroking my thumb across her cheek. She finally shifted her gaze so that she was looking directly into my eyes.
"I'm sorry for embarrassing you. I'm sorry for causing a scene. I'm sorry for stepping in your business. I just couldn't let him disrespect you like that."
Cricket's eyes closed, and when she opened them, I knew she'd forgiven me.
"I know you're sorry, and I know he deserved it. I just..."
She sighed, the sound laced with disappointment, discontent, and a whole layer of something I couldn't identify.
"I just wish I'd been the one to do it."
"Why, Cricket, that's mighty violent of you." My lips tugged into a smile I hoped she'd reflect. I wasn't disappointed.
"I would have kicked him in the nuts, but the nose was good too."
I chuckled and she did too, letting me pull her into a hug. Her blonde head fit in the dip right between my pec muscles. "Dance with me." She didn't answer, but her hands slid up my chest and onto my shoulders. My arms wound around her waist and held her to me, letting me relish the scent of her perfume as it surrounded us. I couldn't live with myself if Cricket was mad at me. She kept her cheek against my chest, her fingers playing in the hair that met the collar of my shirt. If I closed my eyes, I could get lost in this moment, get lost in her. I could imagine dances just like this in our kitchen as we aged together, our children growing up watching their parents dance to an imaginary song. Too in love to care there was no actual music. I could envision a whole life with her.
"You're such a good friend, Cal. What would I do without you?" Cricket whispered,
her words instantly and painfully dissolving the vision in my head. Good friend. That was all I'd ever be with Cricket, and I'd do well to remember it. Like a criminal stuck in a life sentence on Alcatraz, I was firmly imprisoned in the friend zone. But if that was all Cricket could give me, I'd take it, and be the most grateful man on the planet. I loved her, and that meant giving her what she wanted, her freedom to love someone else.
Chapter 2. Cricket. "This isn't worth it," I mimicked Alistair in a high-pitched voice, kicking off my high heels and sighing at how good it felt to be flat-footed again, like nature intended. As if asking him not to grab another woman's ass was just too much for him to handle. I rolled my eyes so hard it made my head hurt. My tiny apartment over the salon didn't answer me. I was talking to myself again. I let my purse slip off my shoulder and fall to the rug I spent 6 months searching for. As I looked around my home, I realized that not one possession of Alistair's littered my couch, table, or bedroom. We dated for 2 months, and yet he'd taken up 0% of my personal space. There was wisdom there if I took the time to reflect on it. Instead, I went into the kitchen and grabbed a glass of water. The champagne at the wedding had given me a headache. Or was it Alistair who had done that? I sighed, the sound filling my apartment with ease. This space was used to hearing my sighs. Usually when I spied my appointment book, filled to the brim with perms and sets, instead of the color and cuts I dreamed about during beauty school. Hugging the glass of water to my chest, I wandered into the living room and sank onto the couch. Knowing how Auburn Hill worked, my parents had probably already heard about Callan and Alistair. Dad would be disappointed that a pre-selected future son-in-law had, yet again, bit the dust, and Mom would shrug her shoulders and ask if I needed a day of pampering. They meant well, but sometimes I felt like neither of them really understood me. I grimaced, even thinking that thought. I was the center of my parents' world. I knew that. Yet with that came a heavy responsibility that I didn't ask for. They bent over backwards to give me whatever I wanted, so complaining seemed a bit spoiled, even for me, an only child. A knock on the door saved me from spiraling down into a pit of self-imposed doom and darkness. Setting down the glass of water as I went, I opened the door to find Callan on my doorstep, still in his wedding tux, minus the tie. The light outside my door highlighted the deep golden strands I was responsible for. His handsome, familiar face split into a smile. Care for some company? I opened the door wider and let him step through. Callan was always stopping by, which was a reversal of our childhood. Back then, I'd constantly stopped by his mom's house, craving the chaos that came with a house full of boys. I couldn't take one more second of listening to our grandfather clock tick away the time, while my parents did adult things, and I braided my hair for the 1,000th time, bored out of my mind. Callan shrugged out of his coat and laid it across the purple paisley chair in the corner that was more fashion than function. I sank back down to the couch, propping my throbbing feet on the rattan puff that served as a coffee table. Why are women expected to wear heels? Is it strictly a torture device to hamper our speed should we have to run from wandering hands? Or is this about the female form on display for men's viewing? What is it exactly? And how can I reverse this perpetuating form of torture? Callan sat on the couch next to me, his broad shoulders taking up every inch of space that was left. He leaned forward and grabbed my legs, spinning me around and depositing my feet in his lap. His thumbs began to dig into the balls of my feet, exactly where they felt bruised from my high heels. I groaned and leaned my head back against the armrest, eyes closed. God bless you and your magical thumbs, Cal. He didn't answer, just huffed out a chuckle and kept rubbing. You should take your thumbs on the road. Women would auction off their left ovary for 10 minutes with those things. I'll keep that in mind in case the paramedic thing doesn't work out, he answered dryly. Though, I'd hate to be responsible for women losing a perfectly good ovary. I cracked open one eye and glared at him. All you have to do is smile that Mr. Nice Guy grin, and all the ovaries explode. If you only knew how many of my friends have lost an ovary over the years because of you. His face took on the cocky smirk he'd had even when he was little. Only now, it wasn't just a cute little boy face. The grown man's smirk had the ability to make women stop in their tracks and forget where they were going. I'd seen it happen on more than one occasion. I sighed and closed my eye, wondering why I had to be best friends with a guy who made all my female friends lose their ability to speak. It was highly annoying. You'll be happy to know I spent the last hour getting an earful from my mother. My eyes popped open again to see him smiling ruefully. Ha, Nikki Hellman gave you a classic lecture, huh? Good for her. Callan made a face. Apparently punching a wedding guest in the face is poor form. Who would have guessed? Everyone? I deadpanned. His thumbs quit their massaging, and before I could complain, he began to tickle my feet instead. I yelped and nearly clipped him in the face while I struggled to get out of his grip, while also not flashing him the ridiculous pair of silky underwear I'd put on under my dress in case Alistair and I'd come back to my apartment after the wedding. I didn't have siblings to teach me how to wrestle, but Callan had taken me under his wing during our childhood. I could punch and kick with the best of them. Okay. Callan shot me a look of innocence perfected after years of tussling with his brothers and then escaping the wrath of their mother. No more tickling, I swear. I don't want to lose parts of my anatomy. His hands covered his balls, just inches from where my heel had landed on my latest jab. I cleared my throat and sat up, swinging my feet to the floor. Callan was my best friend, but even so, I wasn't touching, physically or in conversation, his private parts. Serves you right for all the ovaries. Callan shifted on the couch, the scent of his familiar woodsy cologne setting me at ease. He began to tell me about the finer points of Nikki's lecture, But his words faded out and melted into the background. I felt myself staring at the tiny television on the opposite wall that I barely used. That feeling came over me. The one where I felt frozen in space. The world went on around me, but I was stuck in some kind of sticky fog that wouldn't let me go. I knew it was happening, but there was nothing I could do to stop the daydream state that had caused me to get into so much trouble over the years with my teachers and parents. Cricket, Angel, talk to me. I finally blinked, the room coming back into my awareness. My hands had balled into fists, but Callan pried my fingers open as I slowly came back. I turned my head to the left and saw him staring at me with concern. His golden brown eyes were scanning my whole body, as if he was doing some sort of diagnostic check. Embarrassment swept through me. I hated that I had these moments, these space outs that I couldn't seem to control. Hey, eyes up here, big guy. I went for humor, anything to wipe the concern off Callan's face. His gaze flew back to mine, but the concern didn't shift. Have you eaten? I tried to think back over the evening. I'd had a few bites at the reception, but mostly I'd been juggling the Alistair issue and avoiding Callan. Callan sighed and stood up, not waiting for my answer. I'm making you a snack. Could be low blood sugar. Once Callan had a maiden-saving idea in his head, there was no stopping him. He was the very definition of a knight in shining armor, saving people on their worst days. He'd become a paramedic straight out of high school, attending the required junior college classes the summer after graduation in his eagerness to get started. If he thought I needed a snack, I wouldn't be heading to bed unless I at least ate some of it. I felt around under the couch until I came up with the television remote. I had to blow off the dust bunnies before I could turn it on. Want to watch a movie? Sure. Callan emerged from the tiny kitchenette with a plate piled high with cheese and crackers and some of the grapes that weren't halfway to raisins already. As long as you eat. I sighed but motioned that I was zipping my lips when he gave me a hard look. You have to take better care of yourself, Cricket. Did you make an appointment with the doctor in Blue Ball? Callan sat on the couch and the whole thing dipped, rolling me toward him and his plate of food. To stall, I popped a cracker in my mouth and chewed slowly. We'd had this conversation multiple times before, and every time I told him it wasn't necessary. Just because I spaced out sometimes or got low blood sugar didn't mean anything was wrong with me. Cricket? The warning was clear in his tone. Bossy best friend I had. No, I haven't. Have you considered the crazy price of a doctor visit these days? Who has the money for that on top of tests? Callan set the plate on my lap and put his hands on my arms. Make the appointment, or I'll make it for you. I'm sure your parents would be all too happy to pay for it. I sighed and grabbed another cracker. I don't want to keep asking them for things, Cal. I'm 23 years old. I should be able to stand on my own two feet. Callan sat back with a sigh. You're stubborn as a mule. You're ugly as a mule, I shot back. I may be ugly, but at least I have common sense, he replied. I gave him side eye right before he shoved his shoulder into mine and we both laughed. What movie are we watching? We were just at a super romantic wedding, so... Callan smiled. Horror flick it is. We both settled into the couch, finished off the plate of crackers, and cringed over the cheesy film we selected. I should have been jumping every time that freaky doll's eyes moved, but I was getting tired. My head ended up on Callan's shoulder, and I felt myself being sucked down into dreamland. Next thing I knew, I was blinking my eyes open to the first stream of sunlight. I looked down at myself in the same dress I wore to the wedding. I was in my bed but had no recollection of climbing in. Callan must have put me to bed when I fell asleep on him on the couch. Hopefully I didn't drool on his dress shirt. I had a habit of doing that, something he teased me about mercilessly. I yawned and stretched my arms overhead. Sitting up, I noticed a note on the tiny end table next to
Sample complete. Ready to continue?